Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. We have been in 1 Timothy all day now. And this verse of Scripture is a glorious benediction to everything that we've looked at. This is a glorious benediction to anything that we could ever look at, today or any day. This is the final say in the heart of every redeemed sinner. I cannot tell you how much I love this verse of Scripture. This is, every time I preach from this verse, I'm just so thankful. What a privilege to preach, to read, to think on this verse of Scripture. If we could leave everything on a final note, it would be this note right here. Verse 17. 1 Timothy 1, verse 17. It says, "Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." Is that not the stance of our heart? Honestly, do we not stand right there? Isn't that what we stand on? "Now unto the King eternal." I want to, a benediction is a final word. This is our closing word. I would love for my closing words. You know, David has his last words. These are the last words of David. Every man has his last words. I would love for these to be our last words. May God put these words in our heart, and may we leave this world and go out into eternity crying, "Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." I just love that. He said, "Now." Right now. Right now. That is going to be our cry throughout all of eternity. That's going to be our cry throughout all of eternity. That is the cry of heaven. That's what heaven's crying. That is the cry of glory. That's going to be the cry throughout the ages. But that's our cry right now. Now. Unto. Boy, you want to know where we stand? You want to know what our doctrine is? You want to know what our message is? What do y'all believe over there? What do you preach over there? Here it is. Unto. Unto. It's all to. I was just thinking about that while we were singing those songs. I love those songs. And I was thinking, Lord, if you would let us worship you one more time. Oh, we would be so blessed if you would let us enter into a heart that cries, "To." It's all of Him, through Him, to Him. All of it. Not unto us, O Lord. Not unto us. That's our cry right now. Right now. And that cry will never change. That will never go away. That's going to be our cry throughout all of eternity. Not unto us, it's all unto Him. It is all unto Him. Unto Him that loved us and gave Himself for us. Unto Him that washed us in His own blood. Thou art worthy, For thou wast slain and redeemed us to God by thy blood. We enter into that sometimes now. I cannot wait to enter into that in sinless, spotless glory, with no hindrance of the flesh, the total liberty of the Spirit, crying, it's all to that one right there who's seated on the throne. And I'm looking at him, and I see him. It's all to the one seated on the throne, the King Eternal. The King Eternal. Now unto the King Eternal. I sincerely receive so much comfort and so much happiness knowing that he is the King Eternal. I do. I personally do. What that means is he will be our King forever. He's going to be our King forever. That's wonderful knowing that, isn't it? Turn with me, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah 9. We quoted this morning, and we read these verses not too long ago, but I want to read it again because it just gives me so much peace. This gives me so much peace. Isaiah 9, verse 6, it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government..." This is the King we're talking about. "The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful." Who will call him this? God the Father will call him this. God the Spirit will call him this. Every cherubim, seraphim, angel, and saint in glory. His name is Wonderful. Counselor. He's our Counselor. The Mighty God, this one who was born, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now watch verse 7. "Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end." It's not just that he will remain in office forever, and there will be peace forever, but it's going to increase. He's going to be the increasing high King of glory. He's going to be higher and higher. The longer we go, the longer we see him, the longer we hear him, he's only going to get higher and higher and higher in everything that we learn of him. Our view of him is just, it's going to increase. And his peace, it's going to just increase. Just peace upon peace upon peace. Great peace. Verse 7 says, "Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever." Now watch this. "The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." The zeal of the Lord of hosts. Romans 10 talks about man having a zeal, having a fervent heart, a fervent spirit to do something. He has a zeal, but Romans 10 says man's zeal is all wrong. He has a zeal, but his zeal will not accomplish what man is desiring for his zeal to accomplish, because he's ignorant in his zeal. It's not according to knowledge. Man has a zeal, but it's not according to knowledge. And every time it leads man to failure. Well, the Lord of hosts has a zeal too. He has a fervent spirit, a fervent heart for something. The Lord Jesus Christ, he has a zeal too, the King Eternal. And it's nothing like man's zeal. It's a zeal that performs its desire. It's a zeal of knowledge. It's a zeal of accomplishment according to righteousness. The zeal of the Lord of hosts is to establish his throne and his kingdom with judgment and justice forever, with liberty and justice for all. And the zeal of the Lord will perform that very thing. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. I believe it. I cannot wait to know it and experience it. I just cannot wait. Now, what shall we say to these things? Here's the only thing we can say to it. Now unto the King eternal. Now unto the King eternal. Do you know what the word king means? It literally translates sovereign. Sole reign. Isn't that what we want? Isn't that the way we want it to be? Isn't that what brings absolute joy and peace to us? Him having sole reign. That's what I want. I want him to have sole reign. That's good that we want that, because that's what he has. He has sole reign. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And man, we're glad. Nothing brings us greater joy, nothing brings us greater peace than hearing and knowing and being reminded of that. Look with me, if you would, at Isaiah 52. Isaiah 52, verse 7 says, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, Thy God reigneth. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, with the voice together shall they sing. For they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. Break forth into joy, sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord hath comforted his people, he hath redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God." Now unto the King eternal. Now, if he is the King eternal, this stands to reason. All right? If he is the King eternal, this stands to reason. But go back to our text. 1 Timothy chapter 1. First Timothy 1 verse 17 says, "Now unto the King eternal, immortal." Immortal means cannot die. Will not die, cannot die. Our hope of salvation lies in that right there. He ever liveth. He told John, I love how whenever the Lord put John, the Apostle John, on the Isle of Patmos, John was at the end of his life, and the Lord appeared to him and told him, "What I show you, you write it down." It's now known as the book of Revelation. And it says John was there on the Lord's day, and he heard behind him a trumpet, this voice talking. And when he turned around, he saw this one who had eyes of fire and hair like wool, and this was the Son of God. And fear came over him, and he fell at his feet as a dead man. And the Lord Jesus Christ put his hand on him and said, "Fear not. It's I. I was dead. I died for you. But now I have risen. I'm alive forevermore. He ever liveth." That's our hope. He ever liveth. If we live in Him and He ever liveth, because He lives, we live also. As long as He lives, we live too. That's our hope. If we live and move and have our being in Him, if He is our life, if our life is hid with God in Christ, the foundation of our hope and our assurance and our security, it's in the fact that He ever lives. He is the immortal one. Turn with me over to Hebrews 7. Hebrews 7. Verse 19. It says, "For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. And inasmuch as not without an oath, he was made priest." Who is that talking about? Christ our high priest. "For those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath, by him that said unto him, 'The Lord swear and will not repent,' thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death." The Lord raised up these high priests in the Old Testament as a picture of Christ, the one who would make intercession to God for us, the one who would bring blood on our behalf to pay for our sin debt. And all of those priests throughout the Old Testament, they would live a little while and they would die. And then another one would come along and live a little while and they would die. And the next one would come along. Verse 24 says, "But this man, because he continueth forever, he has an unchangeable priesthood. Nobody's taking his place. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us." He traded places with us. "He became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. Now unto the King eternal." This is the prophet, priest, and king. "Now unto the King eternal, immortal." Along with meaning ever living, that word also means incorruptible. And that goes with the next word in our text, which is invisible. Immortal, invisible. Without spot, without blemish of any kind. As pure as light. As pure as light. You can't see light. It's invisible. You can only see the reflection of light. It's just too pure. Well, that's our King eternal. He is uncorrupted, undecaying, not corruptible, immortal, invisible, incorruptible. As our Lord laid in the grave for His people, He was bearing their punishment for their sin. This was His prayer to the Father in that moment of suffering. Psalm 16 recorded it for us. And this is a few lines throughout the psalm. He said, "Preserve me, O God." While He was laying there on behalf of His people, He prayed, "Preserve me, O God." He said, "The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places." Favorably. That's amazing, isn't it? He said, "Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." His glorious body is incapable of seeing corruption. And in Him, as He is, so are we. When it says He became us, who was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, when He traded places with us, that's what we got. When we got righteousness, we got holiness, harmlessness, undefilement, separate from sinners, removed from sin. As He is, so are we. Turn with me over to 1 Corinthians 15. First Corinthians 15, verse 16 says, "If the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, you are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." Every soul that the Father placed in Christ is made alive. Look with me now at verse 45. It says, "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam, which is Christ, was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward, that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. As we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, incorruptible. Go with me back to 1 Timothy 1. Verse 17 says, Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God. I want to emphasize the word only. The only wise God, the only wisdom that there is, the only knowledge and understanding that there is, the only wise God. Everything that He does is so wise. We're going to really understand that one day. Everything that He does is so wise. We look at something that we just consider to be absolutely horrific. And we know that our King sovereignly reigned over it. We know that He is the one who allowed it. It was all done according to His will, His decree, but this is what we think. I wonder why He allowed that to happen. I wonder why He did it that way. Here's the reason why. It was the only way that was wise. That's why. It was the only way that was wise. Everything that He does is wise. Whatever it is, it can and will be said, and is said, that was wise. Everything He does is right. Shall not the judge of the earth do right? He knows the end from the beginning because He's the one who ordered the end from the beginning. He is the only wise God. May He teach us to trust Him. Really trust Him. Verse 17 says, Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God. This King eternal is God. And to Him be honor. That word translates value. I'm going to tell you where all the value is in heaven. All the worth. Everything of any value. It's all in the person of the King eternal. All value. Oh, the value of His blood, the value of His body, the value. All of it is on Him. To Him be honor. Verse 17 says, and glory. That word means praise. That word means worship. I love worshiping Him. God's people love worshiping Him. They are so thankful when the Spirit gives them moments of worship. And they know God overruled my flesh and He overruled my mind and He overruled my heart and He let me worship. We love worship. All value, all praise, all worship, may all of it be on our Lord, our Savior, our King, Jesus Christ. Verse 17 says, forever and ever. This will be our heart and our stand on the matter forever and ever. Thank God. Thank God He won't let us fall away from this one stance. He will not let us fall away. He will never let this praise grow old. He'll never let it grow tired. Never. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. That means so be it. That's the way I want it. I wholeheartedly agree. Amen literally translates, I believe. That's what it means. When somebody says amen, they're saying, I believe. Amen. I believe that's the most glorious benediction. The most glorious final word that a child of God could have on the subject of Christ, the gospel, salvation, everything our God has done for us to redeem him to himself. May all honor, all glory, all praise for everything be unto him. Amen. All right.